What a beautiful hymn. That was beautiful. If you have your Bibles, please turn to our scripture reading for this morning. This is found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. And that's on page 984 in your pew Bibles. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. And hear now the word of God. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. Yeah, I remember some years ago, I met with a gentleman by the name of T.J. Mercer. And T.J. was one of those individuals. He was a former Marine. He was a big man, had scars all over his body. Not that I saw them all, but I know that he had scars all over his body. And T.J.'s ministry to the Lord was working with juvenile delinquents. He would go out onto the streets and he would work with gang members. And he would tell stories about the circumstances that he would find himself in from time to time, working with these street gangs and trying to work with teenagers, trying to show them that there was a better way of life than to go out and kill and beat up and do the things that they were doing. He was very effective in what he did. He really knew what he was doing. And I asked him, you know, when you're working with these people, what do you see as the greatest problem that you face? You know, what's the greatest issue that you encounter from time to time? And I thought he was going to say drugs, you know, because that was everywhere. And he said, you know, I believe that the greatest problem that these young people face is ingratitude. I thought, wow, ingratitude. He said, you know, they always have this attitude that somehow the world owes me. I've been cheated out, and so I'm going to go out and I'm going to take what I can because it hasn't been given to me. He said, I really feel that the greatest issue that we have to strive with is ingratitude in our young people. You know, as we look at our society today, at our culture today, you know, we see something that's very similar in our young people. They just seem to be ungrateful, not thankful at all for all that they have. Most of us can remember a time back when we were teenagers and we didn't have much. Maybe some did, but I know I didn't. We didn't have much. We had to work for everything that we had, and we were grateful for any little thing that came along. And it just seems like today, children believe that it should all be handed to them, all be given to them. I have to tell you, it's one of the reasons why we're facing this movement towards socialism in our culture today. Because in socialism, the government is responsible to provide everything that you need, but it comes with an extremely high cost. And if you don't believe that, look at Argentina and Venezuela. Greatest problem. Well, I want to read a quote to you, and you can tell by the language, it's not something that was said yesterday, but I want you to listen to this. This is a quote that I found. It says this: the children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents. They chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and tyrannize their teachers. Well, that was written by Socrates in 400 BC. That's a quote from Socrates. Think things have changed much? You know, it's not only a problem. This ingratitude isn't only a problem with our young people. It's a problem rampant in our society. And the reason is that from the end of World War II, America has become used to wealth and used to prosperity. We've taken it for granted. And it's easy to take that for granted and not recognize where all that prosperity is coming from. That God has blessed us as a nation, as the United States of America. He has blessed us. And it's so easy to stop thanking God and start looking at what we've been able to do to accomplish that. Any of you remember some time ago the movie that came out, Shenandoah, with Jimmy Stewart? And do you remember how Jimmy Stewart, in this movie, he gathered his family around him at the table to ask blessing? And this, in so many words, was his blessing. Well, Lord, we cleared the field, and we plowed the field, and we planted the grain, and we watered it, and we did this. We fertilized it, and he goes through this whole litany. And then he says, and whatever you did to help, we thank you. That was his prayer. It's so easy to take for granted what God has done. You know, I heard a rabbi one time talk about this story that was apparently told in the Jewish community. You know, Jewish mothers tend to be very protective over their little ones. And there's this story about this Jewish mother and her son, little, about a 4 or 5 year old, who were on the beach. And as they were standing on the beach, this wave came out of nowhere and crashed over her little son and carried him out to sea. And the mother was distraught. And she started crying out to God, Lord, save my child, save my child. And, you know, she was pleading with God, and she was pleading with God over and over and over again. And finally, God in his own way said, all right, I hear your prayer. And another giant wave came and washed the child up onto the beach. And the mother ran over to him. And God spoke to the woman, and he said, now, are you happy? And the woman said, well, he had a hat. Well, this ingratitude. Do you know Jesus spoke about this very same problem, this very same issue. And it's found in Luke chapter 17, verses 15 to 18. And the story is this behind it. And I'm not going to read all of it this morning, but the story is that Jesus and his disciples were walking along, and there were 10 lepers who were standing off at a distance. And you know, lepers were not allowed to associate with healthy people. People didn't have leprosy. So they were off at a distance, and they were crying out to Jesus to heal them. And so Jesus went to them and healed them. And they were healed. He told them what to do to get healed, and they went and did it, and they were all healed. And one of the 10 came back and thanked Jesus. And this is it. This is beginning in verse 15. It says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except the foreigner? And what Jesus was pointing to was the ingratitude. Already it had been taken for granted that they would be healed, and so they went about their way without giving thanks to God. Well, why weren't all 10 grateful? You know, and that's part of what we want to look at this morning. We want to look at this gratitude, the ungrateful heart, the cause of ingratitude. You know, first of all, a cause of ingratitude is an insufficient understanding of what it means to be blessed. It's very easy for us to take those things that God has done for us and just say, well, God should do that. I mean, after all, I'm going to church, I'm giving money to the church, God should bless me. Well, that's not a proper understanding of blessing. That's almost a quid pro quo. That's a different issue. And that's not what God does when he blesses us. What used to be taken for blessing is now pretty much taken for granted. And you know from your own life, when you were children and something was given to you and you were grateful, now if you gave that to your children, it would be completely taken for granted. I'll bet there are people in here that can remember a time when all they got for Christmas was an orange. We have people living around us that told us they looked forward all year to getting one orange for Christmas. That was it. And they were so happy about that. They looked forward to it, to getting that orange. But you know, our society has created unrealistic expectations in our children and also in us about what we should expect God to do in our lives. He should provide these things because, after all, look what we do for him. We see that's an insufficient understanding of what blessing is all about. Truth is, God doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't have to give us anything. He doesn't have to provide anything. It all comes out of his love for us. It also comes out of an insufficient view of ourselves. And like Jimmy Stewart in that movie Shenandoah, we kind of confuse the fruits of our labor with God's blessing. I have these things because I worked hard for them. I've been working ever since I was little, and I've been able to provide for all of this. Do you realize that that's no guarantee? Because we have worked hard, that's no guarantee of what we have today. It takes God's blessing for us to succeed in life. And without it, we don't succeed. You might say, well, what about all those people out there that don't serve God? How about those people that reject God and are standing against him? And look how they live. Why, they've got beautiful cars and these big mansions. And is that God's blessing on them? No, it's not. It's not. That's something that God has allowed. And if you read the book of Psalms, you understand that God allows them to do this because that's all they get. When they die, it's a different story. And what happens to all that wealth that they've laid up and all the money that they've stolen and cheated people out of? And what happens to all that? It all disappears. Somebody might get it, but I don't believe it helps them, because it wasn't from God. And we confuse sometimes our own labor with God's blessing. I remember hearing about a preacher that was visiting people in his congregation, and he was out with a farmer walking through the fields, and the preacher said, you know, it's amazing at this beautiful land, these fields and this beautiful land that God has given you. And the farmer looked at him and he said, well, you should have seen it when God owned it. The idea is that all this is beautiful because of my hard work, of everything that I have done. He didn't realize that it was the Lord that gave him the strength. It was the Lord that provided the rain. It was the Lord that, it was because of God's blessing. The hard work is in there. Oh, I don't deny that. But the hard work alone won't accomplish it. It's the Lord. So it comes from an insufficient understanding of blessing and an insufficient view of ourselves and our part in this whole blessing process. It's also an insufficient view of God. It's a departure from what the Bible says about God and about the fact that he is a loving heavenly Father. Do you know from the very beginning, God said, I'm choosing this nation. I'm choosing Israel, the least of all the nations. I'm choosing them. And they will be my people. And I'm going to pour out my heart on them. I'm going to love them. And I know they're rascals. I know that they're going to do things that aren't right. I know that. But I'm going to keep my covenant with them, even though they break their covenant with me. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to give them fields that they didn't plant. I'm going to give them vineyards that they didn't plant. I'm going to give them houses they didn't build. I'm going to pour all this out onto them so that the nations all around will look at them and say, how great is the God of Israel? Well, Israel just took it for granted. They just thought it was because of them. Not terribly unlike what's happened in the United States of America. We know it's prophesied in Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, talks about those things that are going to happen in the last days. And it says that people will be ungrateful. They will be ungrateful for what God has done. And see, this goes right along with unbelief. It goes right along with our not seeing God for who He really is. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says this, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." They did not honor Him or give thanks to God. Well, the opposite of that is the grateful heart, a person who is thankful. You know, here we go back to the Pilgrims and to the Puritans back in the very beginning of the life of America, and to look at them and to see what they did. You know, we have these images in our minds of the Pilgrims out there, and they invite the Indians because the Indians had taught them how to plant corn and how to survive in this hostile environment. And so we see the Pilgrims. We forget about the Puritans because we've kind of written them off as being this religious cult, the puritanical people. And they were so narrow-minded in everything that they did. Don't believe any of that. That's not true. It was the Puritans that were there giving thanks to the Lord, that were grateful to Him because of the fact that He had protected them and provided for them. They were the ones that lifted up their heart to the Lord. And they were grateful for all that He had provided. But beyond the physical, they were also thankful to God for this constant watch care over them. And I've mentioned this before, but in the book that was written by Peter Marshall Jr., The Light and the Glory, it gives evidence after evidence of times when there would be Pilgrim communities and there would be Puritan communities. And when the Indians would attack, they would burn the Pilgrim communities to the ground and they would never even touch the Puritan communities, because of God's protection over them. And the Puritans were grateful. They were thankful. And, you know, in all of this, they recognized that God was always faithful to them, that He was a faithful God. You know, I heard a saying one time, you can't say that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And I believe that's what the Puritans did. They gave thanks because at that point, He was the only thing that stood between them and disaster. And they were grateful. You know, all thanksgiving in our lives begins with God. It begins by thanking God for what He has done in our lives. And it's the recognition, as we read in James chapter 1, verse 27, that He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Every good thing that's ever happened in our lives has come from the hand of God. Yeah, we've worked hard for it, but it was God that gave us the strength and the health and opened up the right doors at the right time. It was God that did that. And so we give thanks to God. And it's not a matter of circumstances, because sometimes we find ourselves in very difficult circumstances, but our thanksgiving to God is not based on circumstances. You know, in Habakkuk chapter 3, and I'm just going to read this quickly, but in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it says this, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." You know, and we all hope and pray that that never happens to America, that we are broken down to that level. Habakkuk was seeing the invasion of Israel, and he was seeing them destroy everything. All their means of life and sustenance, everything was being taken away. And he finally had to say, you know, even if this does happen, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. It's not tied to our circumstances. Our circumstances are going to go up and down. Some years are good years. Some years are bad years. Sometimes we go through great blessing. Other times we go through great want. It's always going to change. Yet we can give thanks to the Lord because he doesn't change. And his heart is always on his people. Always. We can give thanks for that. You know, when I was a child growing up, my father had a tradition, and that is on Thanksgiving Day, we'd sit down around the table, and we would begin, and each person, now I had five brothers and sisters, so it was a big table, and they would go around, and each person would say what they were thankful for the last year. And, you know, it always put pressure on you. You're always glad you're not first because that gives you a chance to try to figure out, you know, what am I grateful for? What am I thankful for? You know, and my younger brother, who at that time was about 6 years old, six or seven, prayed a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord, and we still talk about it to this day. You know, we grew up in kind of a rough area, not far from a factory, and it was an area that was changing very rapidly, and it was rough. It was tough in that area. And my younger brother, in his prayer, said, God, I'm so thankful that in this past year, none of us was stabbed. And we've never forgotten that. You know, we thought, stabbed? But see, that's what he was grateful for. That's what he was thankful for. He was giving thanks to God, not based on circumstances of where we lived. He was grateful that God was our protector, and he watched over us. You know, it's also a recognition that apart from God, we can't do anything. He means that much to us. He's that important to us. And our ability to thank God actually reveals our true feelings about God. And you have to ask yourself, well, if in this past year, if God had given us more, would I be more thankful? If God had given us more money, if God had given us better health, would I love God more? And conversely, because God didn't give us those things, do I love God less? You see, God never changes. His heart is always on his people. And he loves us. Just like a loving father, he rejoices when he's able to give us the desires of our hearts. And when he can bless us and encourage us and heal us, it's his great delight. It's what he loves to do. You know, in the text, the passage that we read this morning, and it's one of my favorites in Scripture because it talks about the music in our hearts, the making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Do you realize three times in that short passage there, three times he talks about how important it is for us to give thanks. Give thanks to God. Now, I know it's hard to give thanks to God for the struggles that you're in. You know, I think that there are a lot of people that have taught and believe that we should thank God for everything. You know, well, thank you, Lord, that I had that wreck in my car this morning. Thanks a lot. They might say it through gritted teeth. But we don't thank God for those problems. We don't thank God for those difficulties. We thank God that he is faithful through them. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result to make you perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Even in those trial times, God has a reason for it. And we can be thankful for that. We can be grateful for that. God is so good to us. Our hearts that overflow with gratitude to him. That's what Paul says in Colossians, that our hearts would give thanks, be full of gratitude. Now, in just a couple of days, we're going to have our own celebration. You know, and probably as many people as there are here, that's probably as many different meals that we'll be sharing on Thanksgiving Day. You might have family coming in, or you might be going somewhere else. You know, it's always fun to talk about what's on your Thanksgiving table. What are the traditions that you have? You know, sweet potato with marshmallows on top of it, or, you know, everybody has their own special meal or whatever, but we're going to be grateful for what we have. And it's an encouragement for us through Scripture to be grateful to God, not because of all that we have, but because God is faithful. And that even if all those things disappeared, we would still have a grateful heart before God. It was a poem written some time ago by an individual named George Herbert. And this is what he said: "Thou that has given so much to me, give me one thing more, a grateful heart, not thankful when it pleases me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise." Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, as we come before you in this moment, Lord, give us a grateful heart. Help us to think about all those ways that you have blessed us through the years. Not to look at the cup that's half empty, but the one that's half full. And to be grateful for what you've provided. Father, I pray that even in this moment that our hearts will be lifted up to you. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving this coming Thursday, that we would be thankful not only for all of your blessings, but that we would be thankful for a God who loves us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.